Oh, here you go. Sorry. So we're starting the second parak over here. The parak begins, Ish Mekadesh, we're back to Kiddushin. Ish Mekadesh Boy B'Shuluchai, a man can get married, affect marriage either through himself or through a representative. Ish Mekadesh Boy B'Shuluchai, a woman could accept marriage either through herself or through a representative. And if you were here for the Shir Psicha for the Nuzman in the beginning of the end of January, we discussed the first part of the Gemara. But I wanted to discuss today the second part of the Mishnah, the second part of the Gemara. Ha'ish Mekadesh is Bito Kishehi Naira. Mishnah continues that a man can marry his daughter when she is a Naira. So the Gemara comments on this, Kishehi Naira in Kishi Kitana Loi. When she is a Naira, which means when she's older than 12 years old, so then he can accept Kiddushin on her behalf. Kishi Kitana Loi. When she's Kitana, he's not supposed to accept Kiddushin on her behalf. V'sayela the Rav. This proves the position of Rav. Damar Yehuda Amar Rav, Yitem Rav Alosa, Asa La'odam Sheikadis is Bisa Kishi Kitana. Person should not accept Kiddushin on behalf of his daughter when she is a Kitana. Of course, the father can do such a thing, but he should not. Mar says it's Asar. Acha Tigada V'tamar V'plani, and he writes, until she gets older and she says that she would like to marry, picks out a certain individual. So even though it sounds like from the Gemara that this is an Isur, if you look at the language of the Shulchan Aruch over here, Ois Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch Simulam Zayin Sif Ches, quotes in the name of the Rambam, this is the language of the Rambam, Mitzvah, Shelo Yekadesh Bito Kishi Kitana, Shetigda V'term Pliny Nuraisa. So of course the notable difference is, in the Gemara it says Osir, the language of the Rambam, the language of the Shulchan Aruch is just the Mitzvah. Mechalkos Mechaykek writes, Kloy Mar Afa Gavdim Gemara Amru Osir, Lekadesh Bito, even though the Gemara has the language of Osir, maybe it's not really a formal Isur, and therefore the Rambam phrases it more as a mitzvah. It's the right thing to do, but it's not a formal prohibition to do otherwise. It wouldn't be an Isur to marry your daughter when she's a Ketana, but it's not appropriate, and therefore it's a mitzvah to marry her when she gets older. Because it's not a formal Isur, so later in Tosfos notes that historically the practice was not to follow this statement of Rav. Look in Tosfos Divrei Maaseh Osur. Again, we're not dealing with a formal Isur, perhaps, and that's why Tosfos feels there's a little bit more wiggle room. So Tosfos writes, Va'achshav, in the middle of the Divrei Maaseh Osur. And this might be historically significant for the times that Tosfos lived in, of course, during the Crusades, but Va'achshav sha'anu noigim l'kadesh b'noiseinu afil kitanas. It says, in our times, the minhag has become ready to marry off girls when they're younger. Now, if you look in the Bach over there, Ois Beis, the Bach refers you to Gemara later on. Adaf Pei Aleph Amud Beis. Rabbis, if you turn to Pei Aleph Amud Beis, you'll see even the Amoraim, some of them had the practice to marry off their daughters when they were young, ignoring the advice of Rav. Again, it's not an Isur, we said. The Rambam already lowers it to a mitzvah. And therefore, perhaps, if there's mitigating circumstances, one would be allowed to do it. So already look at Pei Aleph Amud Beis. There are five lines from the bottom. Rav Acha bar Abba, very odd story, but Rav Acha bar Abba ikla lebei Rav Chizda Chasnei, came to the son-in-law's house. Shakle lebas barte, so he took his daughter, again this is daughter's daughter. Oisvua bichnofe, he put her on her lap. He put her on his lap. Omalei lo yisavu lomar, so the son-in-law said to the Zeda, he says, you don't hold of the son-in-law says to the Zeda, don't you know she's married already? She's a married woman, you shouldn't be putting her on your lap. So he said to his son-in-law, really? This is the first time he's finding out about it. So he says, he writes that you're not supposed to marry off a girl when she's a ketana. So he says, the son-in-law says back to the Zeda, Rav Chizda said back to Rav Acha bar Abba, Mar Nami over at the Shmuel. I might be in violation of Rav, but you're in violation of Shmuel. Damar Shmuel, ein mishtamshim beisha. You're not supposed to use a woman. Now, this is his granddaughter. I mean, it's a very odd accusation, but ein mishtamshim beisha. He said, I have another statement of Shmuel. As long as it's Hashem Shemaim, there's no problem in touching his daughter. He's doing it affectionately in order to demonstrate his love for his own daughter. He's hugging and kissing his granddaughter. If you look at Rashi, he explains the whole story. It's a very strange accusation in the first place. It's a ketana, it's his granddaughter. It's very odd. But either way, you see from the Gemara, just by the way, you see that Rav Chisda married off his daughter when she was a ketana in violation of the statement of Rav. So already, perhaps even in the time of the later Amoraim, after Rav, they'd not adhere to this advice of Rav and started marrying off their daughters even when they were younger, yeah.
Is it that this girl is married, or is she to be married at this point?
We'll call it betrothed. Betrothed
in... Well, like, it could be a 9-year betrothal.
Correct.
Oh, okay, fine.
But it's not our concept of an engagement. I would use the word engagement. But we can't, because our engagements are not the same as their kiddushin. So
like, she's mikudeshet,
right?
But not like merase.
Betrothed.
She's not ready.
Yes, designated.
But, like, she's considered like an isha already.
Yeah, she's an ishish for sure. Okay, so you see from the Gemara later on, even later on, Maron perhaps abandoned this practice of Rav. So Tosis has to justify this. So va'ashrav shanu noigim lekadosh b'naseinu afil ketanos, hanu mishum shebechol yom ve'yom agolos mizgabra aleinu. Every day the galus is encroaching upon us, is getting more severe, more burdensome. If a person has money to give as a dowry for his daughter, maybe later on, not that he'll, the stock market will crash, there'll be a pogrom and he won't have any more money. They're going to take it, they'll seize it. So if you have all the money now, you might as well use it for a dowry for your daughter, because who knows what's going to be. They didn't know what the future held. So they were afraid that later on they wouldn't have it. V'teisha bita aguna li'olam. His daughter won't be able to get married because he won't have any money to give his in the dunya. So Tosfos says, if you have money, we have to use it now. We can't wait around and sit on our hands. We have to be able, to act. So even though Rav said, ideally, you shouldn't do this, since it's not an iser, it's a mitzvah, if there are mitigating, otherwise extenuating circumstances, perhaps it's somewhat negotiable. If you look in the Mordechai, I gave it over here, Mordechai from Ksubis, quotes in the name of Rabbi Eliyahu, Tam Mishum, the reason why we're not, don't have this practice of Rav not to marry off the daughters when they're younger anymore, Tam Mishum Sha'anu Ata, again, this is anymore, you know, in our times, this is Tosfos' times, we obviously don't have this practice in our times, but in the times of the medieval commentators, they did this. Tamishum sha'anu ata mu'ati am. We are a very small nation, which means everybody wants to marry the same girls. The shidduch situation, I guess, was the other way around in those days. Everyone wanted to marry the same girls, and there weren't a lot of them. So, because people were being killed left and right. Now, for chayshinon peni katmenu acher, we're afraid someone else is going to take your shidduch. You want to chop a rein, marry them when they're younger, and futures, I guess, buying futures, you marry them when they're younger, when she's a ketana, and then you don't have to worry about it later on, finding a shidduch. So he takes it more from the man's side. Tosfos approaches it from the side of the kala. She's not going to be able to have any money, she won't be able to find the shidduch. The Mordechai is approaching it from the side of the chassan, that it's a positive thing, because that way he'll be able to get a shidduch, and it won't be peni kadmenu acher. He won't be able to find an appropriate shidduch. This concept of peni kadmenu acher, someone else could chop a rein and take away your shidduch, is certainly bothersome. It's odd, you know. But it seems to be echoed by the Gemara Masechtas Moed Katan. Look at the Gemara Moed Katan tells us over here, Daf Yechesim about Aleph Amar Shmuel Mutar La'aris Isha B'Chol Shomoid. Person is allowed to get married on Chol HaMoed. Why? You're not really supposed to get married on Chol HaMoed. Why not? Because the Pasuk says, "V'samachta b'chagecha, b'chagecha v'lo b'yishtecha." You should be happy on Yom Tov with Yom Tov. You're not supposed to have nisuin on Sheva Brachas on Yom Tov or Chol HaMoed, but you're allowed to be ma'aris isha b'Chol HaMoed. Why? What happened to v'samachta b'chagecha v'lo b'yishtecha? No, because we have the fear, Shemi Kadmenu Acher. Maybe someone else will take your shidduch. So mi amar Shmuel Shemi Kadmenu Acher? Is there such a concept of Shemi Kadmenu Acher? V'amar Yehuda amar Shmuel b'chol yom v'yom bas kol yoytzes v'emeres bas pliny l'pliny. So the pliny l'pliny 40 days, or every single day, we're going to see the Gemara start to phrase it somewhat differently, but every single day, a basco goes out that so-and-so is supposed to marry so-and-so. Is it another strange medrash, very strange, in Parshas Bereishis. The medrash says that this certain non-Jew approached Rabbi Akiva and asked him, what does the HaKadosh Baruch Hu do after Sheshes Yimei Bereishis? What is he busy doing all day? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu busy himself with? What does he have left to do? He created the world in 6 days. Now what? He retired. So what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing? So the medrash says HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits all day u'mezavik zivugim. He sits all day and he makes shiduchim. That's what it says in the medrash. That's the pshat in the posting in Parshas Chayisara. Besuel says to Eliezer, when Eliezer tells him about all the wonderful, you know, miraculous things that happened in going about finding Rivka for Yitzchak, so Besuel says, is Besuel? Or is Lavan? Who is it? It's Lavan. He says, May Hashem Yatzah, Davago Nuchal Daber Alecha Ra'otov. He says, obviously this is divine. I can't say anything good or bad. It's not up to me to say. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has obviously ordained this Shidduch. So Rabbeinu Bachai writes that's the source for the Medrash, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu sits in his Mezavik Zivugim, because I forget if it was Lavan or Besuel, one of them said, Ve'Hashem Yatzah, Davago Nuchal Daberech Ra'otov. Obviously this Shidduch, all Shidduchim, are Min HaShemayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu Baskos, Yaitzeis Bas Pliny LePliny. So what do you mean someone else can chop around in your Shidduch? But I thought the whole concept, we all know, you know, Bashert, and this is, you know, Min HaShemayim, made in heaven. So what happened to that? So the Gemara says, you're right, there is someone who's supposed to be for you, but if someone davens, says the Gemara, he could take your shidduch. So he davens HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he could chop around your shidduch. So too over here, our Gemara says, the Mordechai is evoking that same concept here too. Even though the Gemara says you're not supposed to get married, you're not supposed to marry a girl when she's a ketana, until she gets older and she chooses a chasim for herself. But the Rishonim already were aware that it was difficult in their times to find Shidduchim, either because they had no dowries, the money was to seize by the Umos Ha'olam, or because the Klal Yisrael was so small, Nebuch were constantly being persecuted wherever we are. So there's a small population to choose from. You have to chop around a girl to get married find the girl when she's younger. So why? Someone else might come along and take your Shidduch, says the Mordechai. What do you mean someone might come along and take your Shidduch? But the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzaveh bas pleni lepleni. The answer is, but someone else could daven, and someone else could make a zechusim for themselves, and chapara in your shidduch, shemi kad menuach, and someone else could take your shidduch. You want to ask something? Simon, no? However, then Rabbeisai, we have to understand, just for our own sake, you know, well then what's the point of the basko, right? A basko goes out every day, bas pleni lepleni. Kadosh Baruch Hu sits, he's mezavik zivugim, bas pleni lepleni. This one's supposed to marry that one. Yeah, but someone else could anyway come along, daven profusely, and chop around in my shidduch. So then what's the whole point of the basko? Right? It's yours. It's meant for you. Yeah, but someone else could take it from you. It's meant for you, but someone else could take it from you. Well, then it's not how meant for you was it in the first place? And what's the point of making it meant for you if someone else could come along and take it from you? What does the concept mean? Strange concept. I believe what the concept is coming to teach us is a critical perspective that we have to have. And that is that obviously, as you see from the Gemara, someone else could come chaparayin in your shidduch. So what's the whole purpose of the basko in the first place? The whole purpose of the basko is to teach us that after a person gets married, he should have the perspective as if this was his only person he could have married. This is min hashamayim. This is the person who's meant for him. Just to help you understand the concept, the Mishnah tells us in Masechet Zgiyin, Daf Tzadi Amud Aleph. Come think of the pasuk in Parashas Kisetze. Kimatzah ba'ervas davar. If a person would want to divorce his wife because he found that she performed some sort of gilui arayas. So beishamay oimrim, that's the context of gerushin in the Torah. So beishamay oimrim, lo yigarish adam es ishtom kimatzah ba'ervas davar. Unless she violated Gilei Arayish and Emar Kimatzah Ba'Ervas Davar. The pasuk says you divorced your wife Kimatzah Ba'Ervas Davar because she violated Gilei Arayish. You're not allowed to be with her, so then you're allowed to divorce your wife. Anything short of that, you should not divorce your wife. Beis Hillel Oimrim Afilu Hikdicha Tavshiloi. Beis Hillel argued, no, even if she burned the kugel. She burned the cholent. Get rid of her. Shenemar, kimotze be'erbas davar, you found something amiss. Doesn't mean gili arayas. Something's wrong in the kitchen. Out. Rebbe Kiva oimer, afil motze acheres noya mena. Even if you found, you know, better looking woman. Also, shenemar v'hayim lo yisim sachem be'enav, it will be if she won't find pleasure in his eyes. Already he could divorce her. Now, keep in mind, that's Rebbe Kiva, who's v'ahavta v'ayacha kamoyach hazekla gadol v'tayra. This is the same Rebbe Kiva. It's not two Rebbe Kiva, same Rebbe Kiva. And here Rebbe Kiva is saying the most drastic position, which is even if a person finds, someone else he finds more appealing, get rid of the first one, you know, out with the old, in with the new. Well, how could we justify this? How could this be grounds for divorce? So explains Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in his Sefer Emes LeYaakov, a groundbreaking piece. Everybody quotes this. Same idea. Which is that Rabbi Kiva is not telling us this is grounds for divorce. This is a siman that the marriage is over. If the husband doesn't think that his wife's food is the best food in the world, if the husband doesn't think that his wife is the most beautiful woman in the world, then already it's not grounds for divorce. There is no marriage anymore. Because the whole basis, foundation of marriage is that a person has to have the perspective that this person is the best person in the world for me. That has to be your perspective. If this person is not the best person in the world for you, you don't think that, wow, you know, there could have been no one else who would be better for you, then the marriage is already broken. There's already a problem. So Rabbi Kiva says you might as well get divorced anyway. Not that she did anything wrong, not chas v'shalom, not that this is grounds for divorce. This is the siman that there's no more marriage anymore. Beis Shammai is giving you something, she violated the rules of the marriage. Kimatzu be'erbas davar, okay, then you can divorce her. Beis Hillel says, no, if her food is not the best food in the world to you, you get divorced. And Rabbi Kiva even takes it even further. If already the guy, he doesn't think that his wife is the prettiest woman in the world, so then he should already get divorced, because the marriage is already effectively over. Because his perspective is supposed to be that this was a basco, this was something that was made in Shammayim, that was meant to be. Obviously, prior to that, Shemi Kadmenu Acher, yeah, someone else could come along and take your shidduch. But once a person gets married, he's supposed to, you know, you're not supposed to think, well, you know, what would have happened, the game that people play in their minds. You know, if you ever, Rabbi, I don't know if you're in the parasha yet, everyone, B'Shal Teva, but you get in the parasha of dating and this and that, you date different people, hopefully everyone should have a Hatzlacha, get married right away. But sometimes it takes a little bit longer, you meet different people, and then people later on in life start playing games with themselves. Well, what if I had done this? What if I had done that? You know, and especially if you know them later on in life, you know, things happen. And people play these games, and that's a terrible thing. We say in Maariv, Hasir Satan milfaneinu me'achareinu. You should remove the Satan from in front of us and from behind us. So the Sfarim all ask, the Yetzirah that's in front of us, we know about him, we see him all the time. Who is the Yetzirah that's behind us? The Yetzirah that's behind us is the one that asks us to look back. You know what? Think what could have been. You could have done this, you could have done that, and always second-guessing ourselves. That's also Yetzirah. That was the Yetzirah that killed Ishta Shaloit, the wife of Loit, that she was leaving Sodom. So the Malach told her, don't look around, don't turn around. What was so bad about turning around? Not that she was going to see them getting destroyed. What he meant is, don't feel bad that you welcomed in the guests into your home. Again, how did Loit and his wife, how did they, Sodom become destroyed? Because they welcomed the Malachim into their house, then they tried to break down the door to get in, and then Loit and his wife had to abscond, they had to flee, they had to run away. So he was telling her, don't feel bad about the Achnasu Zarchim that you did, because if you do, yeah, she had no Zechusim left. Her only Zechus was the fact that she did Achnasu Zarchim with her husband, with Loit. So when she turned around, what it means is she had charata for the fact that she ever welcomed those malachim into her house in the first place, and therefore she turned into a pile of salt. Why salt? Because salt was the salt that she gave to Achnas Zarchim. All of her zechusim for the Achnas Zarchim was gone, and therefore she had nothing left. So what it means is you shouldn't feel bad, you shouldn't second guess yourself and think, well, what could have been if this one, if that one. After a person gets married, his perspective is supposed to be that this was made in Shemaim, his wife is supposed to be the perfect spouse for him. And that's something that initially, when you first get married, might seem easy. Hopefully, it's easy when you first get married. But later on in life, marriage, this perspective perhaps takes a little bit of work, but it's something that everybody is part of the avoid of being married. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Saita over here, Rabbi Yisai. Ei mezavgin lo la'adam, isha lefi masav. A person only gets an appropriate shidduch based on his mitzvah semaisim toivim. Whatever he has, accomplished, he'll get an appropriate shidduch. Eini, but the Gemara asks, is that so? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Arba'im Yom Kadim Yetziras HaVlad, 40 days before a child is born. Here it's slightly different. Basko Yaitzis Ve'meres Bas Pliny LePliny, Bias Pliny LePliny, Sada Pliny LePliny. So someone, a Basko that goes out, this person is destined to marry this, this man is destined to marry this girl. What happened to him is Avgol the other Mofi Masav. Says the Gemara, Loi Kasha, Habazivik Rishon, Habazivik Sheni. This is the first marriage, this is the second marriage. What does that mean? First marriage, Bas Pliny LePliny. That's the Basko. Second marriage, what's the second marriage? Eim is Avgol the other Mofi Masav. So first, the Meiri has a fantastic pshat. Everybody, I hope, is aware of this before. Many quote this Meiri. The Meiri says it doesn't mean a first marriage, it doesn't mean a second marriage. Zivug Rishon means when a person is young. He's not Bar Oinshin yet. That's why it's Bas Pliny LePliny, the daughter of Pliny. Why isn't she her own person? Why does she have to be known by her father's name? She's her own person. The answer is because she's a Ktana, says the Meiri. She's a Ktana who therefore doesn't have Mitzvah Semaisim Tovim. So then it's Bas Pliny LePliny. Obviously it's Min HaShamayim because it can't be based on their actions. They're not Bar Oinshin yet. They're not 12 or 13. If a person is 12 or 13, or he's getting married soon, he's 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, etc., that's based on your actions. That's based on your zchusim. That's Zivuk Sheni. Says to me, Iri, but Zivuk Sheni writes, Alaymash Hubizman Roy Lanosh Vigmul. He's a bar reward or punishment. Of a Bizman Shein, a Roy Lakach, Vua Nikra Zivuk Rishon. Person's getting married when they're Ktanim. That means when they're not bar oinshin. That's when it's divinely ordained. But zivik sheni is when a person is already a little bit older. He has his own zechusim. It doesn't mean first marriage or second marriage. It means when a person is a bar oinshin. That's what it means. However, along those same lines, but slightly differently, Taisus asks the question on that Gemara, really, if that's the case, that the Basko, Rabbi says, so when is the Basko? When does this Basko exist? Basko exists only by Zivig Rishon, not by Zivig Sheni. So according to my Malach, what do I think the Basko means? Basko means that it's divinely ordained. The Gemara told us himself this might come, someone else could take your shidduch. What's the Basko? The Basko is after you're married, you should think this is the only person in the world for you. So that only makes sense by Zivig Rishon. You know why? Because the Zivig Sheni, let's say first spouse Nebuch passed away, and he gets married again. So what are you going to say? This is the only person that could have been married to. He was married once already. They had a happy marriage. Never, Leilenu HaKadosh Baruch Hu ended it for him. But he had a happy marriage. How can he have in his mind, this is the only person I possibly could have married? He can't have such a perspective anymore. He was happily married before to somebody else. So you can't have that perspective anymore. That's why it's only by Zivig Rishon, not by Zivig Sheni. What does this Basko mean? That's our perspective. As a person goes through marriage, what should his perspective be? That this is the only person in the world for me. So that can't be by Zivig Sheni. The person was already married once. So it can't be that that's his perspective. So I think even a Pashup Shot, that's what the Gemara means. That's why there's a difference between Zivig Rishon and Zivig Sheni. But even more than that, perhaps we could suggest along the lines of the Meiri a slightly different shot. Taisus there asks this question. Taisus asks, one minute, let's go back to that Gemara Masechtas Ma'id Katan. The Gemara told us in Ma'id Katan that a person is allowed to get married on Chol HaMoed, Shemi Kadmenu Acher, someone else might take your shidduch. So the Gemara asks, how could someone else take your shidduch? That's so bothersome. What happened to the concept of Bas Pliny LePliny? It's divinely ordained. Kadosh Baruch Hu is Yoshev and Mizavik Zivugim. So what did the Gemara there answer? That by davening, someone else could jump ahead of you in line. You know, someone else hop around in your shidduch. What could the Gemara have answered? The Gemara could have answered like it answered in Saita. Haba Zivig Rishon, Haba Zivig Sheni. When is there a Basko that goes out that Zivig Rishon? When can you get married on Yom Tif? Haba Zivig Sheni, Shemi Kadmenu Acher. So the Gemara could have said such a yishuv. The Gemara could have said, The bas girl is zivug rishon. That's what the Gemara says anyway. Masechta Soita. A mezavgal of adam fi masav is zivug sheni. So say also in the Gemara in Masechtas Moed Katan. When can you get married on Chol HaMoed? You can only get married on Chol HaMoed, zivug sheni. Then we could have had our Gemara of you could get married on Chol HaMoed, shem yikad menu acher, and we could have had our bas girl of that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Yoshev Mizavik Zivugim, just distinguish between Zivug Rishon, Zivug Sheni, just like we did in the Gemara Masechta Soita. One statement was that if a person only gets a shidduch that's appropriate to him based on his actions, but we have a basko that is divinely ordained, it doesn't depend on your actions. The answer is Hab Zivug Rishon, Hab Zivug Sheni. To say the same thing by getting married in Chol HaMoed. Get married in Chol HaMoed is only a Zivug Sheni. The basko is a Zivug Rishon. Why didn't the Gemara say that answer? Good kasha. Taisus doesn't have a teretz. But the Ksav Sofer suggests, his comments on Parshas Bereishis, the Ksav Sofer suggests, along the lines of the Meiri, that Zivug Rishon, Zivug Sheni doesn't mean two people. Not that you're married twice. The Meiri said it depends when you get married. Are you getting married when you're young or married when you're old? But it's the same husband and spouse. Same husband and spouse. When are you getting married? If you're getting married when you're young, it's a basko. You're getting married when you're older, it's based kfi masav. Doesn't mean two marriages. It means the same people when they're older, when they're younger. Ksav Sofer says a similar idea, but he says, no, what it means is the beginning of the marriage versus later on in the marriage. The beginning of the marriage, says the Ksav Sofer, is a basko. Everything, it seems perfect. Everything is great. It's min hashamayim. Everyone's talking about it. The Shevet Brachas, how you couldn't have put two better people together. Then, later on in the marriage, it's all the same person. You can't say Habazivuk Shebirishan, Habazivuk Sheni by the Gemara Moed Katan, because the Gemara Moed Katan says we're afraid Shemi Kamenu Acher, someone else is going to take your Shidduch. Zivuk Rishon, Zivuk Sheni doesn't mean first marriage, second marriage, it's all the same marriage. We're not talking about someone else coming in and sticking their nose into your marriage or jumping ahead of you in line. Zivuk Rishon, Zivuk Sheni doesn't mean two marriages. What Zivug Rishon, Zivug Sheni means is the beginning of the marriage versus the end of the marriage. So it doesn't help us for the Gemara Moed Katan. So the Ksav Sofer says at the beginning of the marriage, everything is a basko. Everything is wonderful. Min HaShamayim. Later on, Eim Mezavgan La'adam El Kfi Masav. How successful is his marriage? That depends on his own actions. That depends on how much work he puts into it. It's not something that it just goes on cruise control. You get married, you found the right girl, you know, you sail off into the sunset. That's not the way it works. Marriage requires work. The famous Vart Rabbi said from the Gra. The Gemara says in Masechtas Brachos, and Davches, that when a person gets married in Eretz Yisrael, they used to say to him, will it be Matzah or Moitzeh? Will it be Matzah Isra Matzah Toiv? Pasuk in Sefer Mishlei. Or Moitzeh Mar Mimaves Esho Isha. Moitzeh Ani Mar Mimaves Esho Isha. Pasuk in Sefer Koheles. I found something worse than death as the woman. So which is it going to be? So the Gra claims that's the same as we find in Parshas Bereishis. Es Eloi Ezer Kenegdai, Kodesh Baruch Hu will make a helper opposite you. Most helpers are alongside you, not opposite you. So what kind of helper is this? She's opposite you. So the Gemara explains, no, Im Zacha, if he's Zoich in his marriage, meaning he keeps Torah in the mitzvah, she'll be an Ezer, she'll help him along. Im Loi Zacha, if he's doing wrong, the husband is going off the rails, he's not doing the right thing, then his wife will be kenegdai. If he's doing wrong, his wife will be kenegdai, helping him to push him back in line. So fine, the wife, the unique type of helper. If you're doing the right thing, she'll be behind you, winding your sails. If you're doing the wrong thing, she'll be kenegdai, fighting against you, push you back into line. Okay, that's Emloi Zacha. Rashi quotes it on the pasuk. Ezer, kenegdai, Zacha, Ezer, Loi Zacha, kenegdai. So the Gra claims that's the same thing over here. Same shot. It will be Matzah or Moitzeh. If a person is Zacha in his marriage, it will be Matzah Isra Matzah Toiv. If he's Loi Zacha, he doesn't keep the Torah in the mitzvahs, then the marriage can go off the rails, then it will be Moitzeh, Nimar Mimavis, Eso Isha. But the Gra continues. The Gra asks, how come when the marriage is going well, it's in the past tense? Matzah Isha Matzah Toiv is in the past tense. Lashon Hava. I found something worse than death. That's marriage. That's present tense. Moitzeh is right now. Matzah is in the past. So the Gra explains, he says, because in the past the marriage was always great. Matzah Isha Matzah Taiv. When we got married, everything was Taiv. Everything was great. It was all working. It was all clicking. Then, now, Maitzah Ani Marim Rav says, Isha, people always complaining about their marriage. Why? Because now, things requires more work, requires effort. So it says, Ksav Sofer, that's Haba Zivig Rishon, Haba Zivig Sheni. But either way, so whether it comes naturally or whether later on in marriage it requires work, our perspective is supposed to be, even though Shemi Kadmenu Acher, someone else could take your shidduch, that's not what it means, Bas Pleni Lepleni, that things are divinely ordained, you have one person out there in the big world that's waiting for you and it's just your job to find them. That's not what it means. What it means is when a person finds that person that works with and things are going well, then his perspective should be, this was divinely ordained. This is Bas Pleni, Lepleni, Saskachas Hashem that brought you two together. And at the beginning of the marriage, perhaps it's easier later on in marriage or something that requires work. But that's supposed to be our perspective. It doesn't mean that there's one person out there in the world that's for you. As the Gemara said in Ma'akan, Shemi Kadmenu Acher, someone else could chab arayin, someone else could jump ahead of you in line, or the Mordechai, Pen Kadmenu Acher. What it means is our perspective should be Bas Pleni, Lepleni. Then the Gemara continues, Rabbi Say. The Gemara goes on. So you're not supposed to get married when you're younger. But when a girl is older, the father can marry her off, either himself or b'shluchai. And the Mishnah began, Ha'ish mekadesh boya b'shluchai. You can get married, and the chassan can marry himself or his representative. A wife, the woman could accept marriage herself or through a representative. How do you know you can get married through a representative? So the Gemara picks this up, this discussion over here on the two dots. Shlichus minalan. How do we know shlichus works for kiddushin? Perhaps in Kol HaTorah Kula. The Sanya, Rebbe Brisa. The pasuk says by gerushin, v'shilcha mibeisoi. You sent her out of your house. Why did it have to say you sent her out of your house? It could have just said v'girsha mibeisoi. Gerushin is you evicted. You know, you removed her. Why a language of shalach, of sending? Could have used the language of Gerushin, which is what we're talking about. So the Gemara understood that this is coming to teach us that Shlichos, representation, works when it comes to Gerushin. V'shilach, melamed shehu oisa shliach. V'shilcha, why does it say it, Lashon Nekeva, melamed shehi oisa shliach. Could have said v'shalach mibesa. What's v'shilcha? He sends her, or maybe with the mapikei. He sent her out. That means that she could also make a shliach. Why does it say it twice in the parasha of Gerushin, three psukim apart? It says v'shilcha mibeisoi. Twice it says it. Melamed she hashliach oisa shliach. The shliach could set could make another shliach. The representative could appoint the second representative. So fine. This is by Gerushin. Ashcham b'Gerushin b'kiddushin minalan. V'chitem the yalov migerushin. So the Gemara goes on. Where are we going to learn out kiddushin from? The Gemara says maybe it's from here, maybe it's from Truma. That will take us to the Amud Beis, all the way to the bottom of the Gemara. A long sugya. Where do we derive shlichus from? At least in its simplest form, it's derived from kiddushin. It's derived from gerushin because the pasuk says v'yotzev v'haisam akish havoyu yitziyah. Ma yitziyah mashvi shliach af havoyanami mashvi shliach. Kiddushin is derived from gerushin. Gerushin the shlichus, how do you know? V'shilach, he can make a shliach. V'shilcha, she can make a shliach. So he can make a shliach, she can make a shliach. Kiddushin also, they could both make a shliach, is derived from gerushin. However, the Rishonim ask, why do we need two sources for the fact that he can make a shliach and one that she can make a shliach? If he can make a shliach, why can't she make a shliach? Well, why would we think that they're any different? So Taisus HaRosh asked this question. Rabbi, say, look over here, Oizvav. Taisus HaRosh says, Vim Toimar. Amai Tzorach Trei Kroi. Chad L'Shlichus HaBaal, V'chad L'Shlichus HaIsha. What do I need two psukim for? One that he can make a shliach, one that she can make a shliach. V'yesh Loimar. Dehav Amina de Bebaal Hu Deshayach Shlichus. She'enu Migarash Elam Midaitai. I would have thought that the husband could appoint a shliach by Gerushin, because the Gerushin depends on his das. Again, the husband could divorce his wife even against her will. We don't do that. As a cherem, the Rabbeinu Gerushin, not to divorce your wife against her will. But the husband, midai raisa, can do such a thing. Aval isha shemizgareshes balkarcha loy ala maisa dida, a woman who really doesn't play an active role in Gerushin at all, she could get divorced against her will. Lo ala maisa dida kulihai shetucho limnoi shliach bimkaima. I would have thought she is not a player here enough she doesn't play a significant enough role that she can appoint a shliach. Therefore, we needed a second pasuk to teach us not only can the husband appoint a shliach, but the wife can appoint a shliach as well. The Achrayim understand, just conceptually, what's going on here, based on the Gemara Masechtas Ksubis. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Ksubis and Afayin Da'alam and Aleph, that in order to appoint a shliach, you have to be in control of what's taking place. See, if you're in control of the transaction, if you're in control of the chalois, of the what's going on, so then I'm in control to the degree that I can appoint the shliach as well. If you're not in control, you're not playing a significant role in the transaction, so you cannot appoint the shliach. So therefore, the Gemara says, Michti, kol tanai mehecha gamrinon. How do we know that when you're making a transaction, you could insert the stipulation? The whole discussion, precedent for stipulations comes from where? Mi tanai b'nei godu b'nei ruven. From the tanai that was made by the b'nei godu b'nei ruven, as we're familiar with, when Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael. Where is this? In Parshas Matos? When Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, and the B'nai Gadim and the Reuven wanted to stay Me'ever HaYarden, but they promised Moshe Rabbeinu they're going to go and conquer Eretz Yisrael together with Klal Yisrael, then they'll come back and they'll settle Eiver HaYarden. So Moshe Rabbeinu made a condition with them. He said, if you come and conquer Eretz Yisrael with us, then you can then go back and settle Eiver HaYarden. If you don't, you can't have the Eiver HaYarden, you'll get together with everybody else in the mainland of Eretz Yisrael. And then Moshe Rabbeinu said, and if you don't come and fight with us, you'll get in the mainland, you won't get in the Eivar Yarden. So he said, if you come, you'll get in the Eivar Yarden. If you don't come, you'll get in the mainland. So the Gemara says, you see, from here, in order to create a stipulation, it has to be a Tanai Kofel. You have to say both sides of the stipulation. What will happen if you do fulfill it? What will happen if you don't fulfill it? All of this is based on the precedent of what Moshe Rabbeinu contracted, what they negotiated at the time of the Beigot of Bnei Reuven. So, but who made the condition here? Moshe Rabbeinu accepted the conditions of the Beit Gadol, Bnei Reuven. They'll come and fight. Then he will give them the property that was Me'ever HaYarden. So the Gemara says, Mi Tanai Bnei Gadol, Bnei Reuven. That's where we derive all the rules of stipulations, of Tanai. So, Tanai De'evshu Kiyumer De'Shliach Ki Hasam Havi Tanai. Moshe Rabbeinu did not give the Eivar HaYarden to Bnei Gadol, Bnei Reuven. Rabbi said, who gave the Bnei Gadol, Bnei Reuven? Who was there when they actually conquered it and fulfilled this? Yeshua. So it's after Moshe Rabbeinu's death. He didn't go into, he walked on the Eivar HaYarden, but he wasn't there when they conquered Eretz Yisrael to then go back and give the Gadol Bnei Reuven their portion of the Eivar HaYarden. That was Yeshua did it. So Moshe Rabbeinu appointed a shliach to give the property to Gadol Bnei Reuven. So if you can appoint a shliach, you can make a Tanai. Do I actually come at a shliach ki hasam lo havi Tanai? If you cannot use a shliach, you can't make a Tanai. The Gemara there is discussing chalitza. If a man dies without any children, his wife requires chalitza or yibum from his brother. So chalitza, you cannot make a tanai because there is no shliach. You can't send a shliach to do chalitza, therefore there's no tanai. When can you make a tanai? If you're in control that you can make a shliach. Like Moshe Rabbeinu sent Yeshua to give them the property made by Yarden, Moshe Rabbeinu therefore can make a tanai like Bnei Gadol Bnei Reuven. If you're not in control, you can't make a tanai. So Taisa says, Bim Toimar, Umas Svarayeshkan, what is the reason for this connection between making a stipulation and the ability to delegate it to a shliach? The Logamina Mehasam Alidim Mashu Svara. We only learned out from the Parshim they got him, they Reuben, those things that make sense to extrapolate to elsewhere. The Loyalfina Mehasam, the Lomahani Tanayo, when he seen his karka. No one ever thought to learn out from the Gadol Bnei Reuven, the stipulations only work when you're delegating, doling out properties, distributing properties. Because that doesn't make sense to limit it in that way. So why should it be limited, just because Moshe Rabbeinu delegated to Yeshua, why should it be limited that it's only something you can delegate to a shliach? Can you make a stipulation? It's so much in your control. I can send a representative on my behest. So therefore, it's in my control that I can insert stipulations. But if it's not in my control that I can't appoint a shliach, it's not in my control that I can make a tanai. But what do you see from that Gemara? That in order to make a representative, to make a power of attorney, to delegate something to somebody else, it has to be my action. I have to be in control. If it's not my action, I'm not in control of the transaction, how can I delegate it to a representative, to a shliach? Therefore, says Tosis, so too you can't make a Tanai. It's shlichus only works if it's something that you're in control of. So that's what the Tosis Rush said. I would have thought, even though there is a parasha of shlichus, when does that work? By the husband in Gerushin. Because the husband is in the one in control, he's in the driver's seat of the transaction. He could divorce a wife against her will. The wife cannot doesn't play a role. She can get divorced against her will. I would have thought she can't appoint a shliach. Therefore, the Torah comes to teach us with a second drasha that no, she can have a shliach nonetheless. But perhaps, if that's the case, her shlichus is somewhat different than that of the husband. Many achrayim have this idea with different formulations, but it basically all boils down to the same thing. And that is that the shlichus of the husband is your garden variety shlichus. The husband here is in control of the gerushin. This is shlichus of kol ha-Torah kula, of shlichus shel adam kamoisai. It's my transaction. I could therefore appoint the husband's transaction of gerushin. He could appoint the shliach to carry it out on his behalf. Whatever he does is on my behest. And I'm in control here. So it makes sense that you could appoint the shliach, and then we have a source for that. The wife's shlichus might be different. Why? Because she's not in control. So what kind of shlichus is this then? She's not in control of the transaction. How could she appoint the representative then? So we said that's why you needed a second source to teach us. No, she can also appoint the shliach. But perhaps already then we get indications that her shlichus is not the same as his. His shlichus is the paradigm for all shlichus, shlichus, shalom, kamaisai. I'm in control of the transaction. I can delegate it to my power of attorney, to my representative, and he can act on my behalf. The wife shlichus, she's not in control here. How can you make power of attorney on something you have no control over? So therefore, perhaps the shlichus of the wife to accept the get is entirely different. That's a chiddush of the Torah, that the shliach is considered to be an extension of the wife. It's not the typical power of attorney, because she's not in control here. She's not delegating authority to him. She doesn't have any authority to begin with. The shlichus of the wife is she's making an extension of herself. A unique type of shlichus that perhaps only applies because of this gzeres hakatzuv of the shilcha. For that reason, Yachronim explained, perhaps that's why the Rambam feels some of the rules of her shlichus are different than the rules of his shlichus. Look at the Rambam over here, Perek Vav, Hilchos Gerushin Locha Aleph. The Rambam writes, when she appoints her shliach, you need eidus l'kiyum hadavar. That means, like, we know this from Kiddushin, that when people get married, you have to have witnesses there. If a man and a woman would be alone in this room, no one would be watching, he could give her the ring. Hare at mikudesh asli b'tabazu. They could both sign affidavits we had in mind for Kiddushin. You know, Kedas Moshe of Yisrael, doesn't matter. If there's no witnesses here, the Kiddushin means nothing. Gerushin, same thing. You need Eidus l'kiyum hadavar. If there's witnesses there, then it's effective. If there's no witnesses, it's nothing. When it comes to Gili Arayas, Dover Shabi Erva, you need two witnesses in order to make it significant. Otherwise, we don't think you realize the consequences of your actions. When everyone's watching you, you know, and then you start to second-guess yourself. When you're alone, maybe you make a decision hastily. But everyone's watching you, so then you take it more seriously. If you make a decision in that context, then it's significant. So the Rambam says when the wife is appointing a shliach to accept the get, there have to be edim there. Shliach she'isa isha lekabel lo gita miyad baila. She appoints a representative to accept the get. Hu hanikra shliach kabbalah. That's called a shliach lekabbalah. U'mishyagia haget liyodoi tisgarish. When the get reaches his hands, the shliach, she's divorced. Ki'ilu higia liyodoi. It's like it reached her hand. V'tzrichel ha'soisa b'shnei edim. There have to be two witnesses there. V'tzrichel shnei edim she'idu she'get. They need to testify not only obviously that the shliach accepted the get, but when she appoints the shliach, you need edim there as well. However, when the husband appoints the shliach, one of the many double standards, he can't make a shliach for her. He can make a shliach to take the get to her. V'zehu anikra shliach haylacha. The wife appoints a shliach kabbalah. He appoints a shliach haylacha. V'ein shliach haylacha v'hava tzricha edim. Tzarech edim. There's no witnesses there. You don't need witnesses when he appoints the shliach. How come when he appoints a shliach, there's no need for witnesses? When the wife appoints a shliach, you need witnesses like every davar shebe'erva. Why? There's no divorce changing hands yet. No get has happened yet. She's appointing a representative to go and accept the get. Why should she need edim where the husband appoints a shliach, there is no need for Edim. You hear the question? What do you want to say?
My question is more like, we were saying, like, why is it so unique to Gerish in this Edis? Like, I mean, this shliachus, like, don't we have shliachus for, like, Kedushin also?
We're trying to derive that. We're in the control room now.
The same? Those are one and the same type of shliachus? For the woman, because she's just accepting.
Okay, we'll get to your point in a second. Yeah, so, okay.
I think, didn't we already conclude that you could do that for...
Where's the source for that? We were looking for a source for it.
I thought that was a given.
No, this is where it's a given from. Kiddusha Memal from Alf. We're now at ground zero over here for that, for the parasha of Shlichus. So, but why is there a difference between the two? So again, the Achrayim suggest, again, perhaps based on a similar idea. Many Achrayim have this suggestion. And that is that the husband shlichus is shlichus of kol haTorah kula. He's appointing a shliach that's his representative and a power of attorney for a transaction that he's in control of for the gerushin. So the shliach acts on his behalf and he has his power of attorney. It's like, you know, he has, it's the same as the husband for all intents and purposes. But he can transfer that authority to somebody else. The wife has no authority to transfer. So what is the nature of her shliach? Her shliach is somewhat different. Her shliach is an extension of herself in a different way than his is. His is giving power of attorney, and the shliach has, you know, the right, certain rights and privileges because he has the authority of the husband. The husband has authority in this transaction to transfer. She doesn't. So what is her shlichus? Her shlichus to accept the point someone else to accept the get is kind of like she's making an extension of herself. If you're extending the wife in Gerushin, that's a davar shebi'erva. That's not a typical transfer of authority, power of attorney. That's you're creating like a new wife here, like an extension of the wife. That's a davar shebi'erva. That should require two witnesses, perhaps. Yeah.
Does the shliach that if her shliach wants to make a shliach, does that shliach also need edus?
You ask a great point. When the Gemara says over here that, we'll get to a point at the end if we have a second. Fantastic. One last place where perhaps you see this distinction between his shlichos and her shlichos is with regards to a separate halacha. First of all, the same is true in Kiddushin. As Jonathan was pointing out, the Gemara says, the Rambam writes, same distinction with regards to Kiddushin. When the husband makes a shliach to give Kiddushin, so you don't need witnesses there. But when the wife makes a shliach to accept kiddushin, she needs two witnesses. Why? He doesn't need to make witnesses when he appoints a shliach. She does. So perhaps the same distinction, because the husband is really, we discussed many times last month, the kiddushin is really the husband's transaction. The wife... it's more of a passive participant. That's why she doesn't have a speaking role. She can't give him. It's he who gives her. It's not a mutual type of transaction. He's in the driver's seat. She, as the Ron told us in the Durham, kind of makes herself hefker and allows the husband to come in and to acquire her, quote unquote, meaning to marry her. But it's really the husband who's in control. So since, as derived from Gerushin, Makish, Shavai, Yitzia. So the just like by Gerushin, it's the husband's transaction. It's his. He has the authority here, so he can transfer to a shliach. You don't need Edim. That's the parasha of shlichus and kol Torah kula. I can transfer my authority to someone else. The wife doesn't have any authority to transfer. So her shlichus for Kabbalah of Get or Kabbalah of Kiddushin must be an extension of herself. That kind of extension of yourself critically affects the marriage. So that's a davar shebi'erva. Because in this transaction, she doesn't have any authority to transfer. But perhaps you see another distinction between her shlichus and his shlichus. Again, why did we need two psukim to derive his shlichus and her shlichus? Because his shlichus is a transfer of authority. Shlichus shalom kamaisai. Shlichus only works when you have some authority, as the Gemara told us in the Ksubis. You have to be in control. If you're not in control, you can't make a shliach. But he is in control, so he can make a shliach. That's not a davar shebi'erva. Her shlichus of Kabbalah for Kiddushin, for Gerushin is different. That's like an extension of herself. And that therefore requires perhaps Edim, and we needed a second pasuk to derive that concept. So another place where you see this distinction is with regards to an eved serving as a shliach. The Gemara says, the Masech is getting over here, Daf Ois Yud, Chav Gimel Mad Aleph, Hakol Ksherim V'Havias HaGet, anyone is kosher to bring the get for the husband, Chutz Mecheres Shoyt V'Katan, the exclusion of Mecheres Shoyt V'Katan, a Suma, a blind man, or an Oved Kechavim. A A non-Jew cannot serve as a shliach. A non-Jew is not Jewish at all. How many mitzvahs is he chayvin? 7. That's it. An eved kanani is chayvin mitzvahs ki'isha. So he's closer to, he's, you know, half converted. We don't have time to get into it now, but he's like a half convert. He's stuck in Twilight Zone. That's why after he's freed, he has to go through a full conversion. Every eved kanani has to go through a full conversion at the end. He's somewhere chayvin mitzvahs ki'isha. It's quasi-state. So what would you say about an Eved serving as a shliach? The Mishnah says, no non-Jews, they can't be a shliach. What about an Eved? Eved is better. So if you drew the line at Ovi Kacham, that sounds like an Eved can. So boy minei, Rabbi Ami, Eved, mahu shiyas a shliach, lekavo get isha miyad baila. Can an Eved serve as a shliach? So Amar Levi, the kapasale la Ovi Kacham, mechlal the Eved kosher. If all the Mishnah apostles was an Akum, sounds like an Eved who's more close to a Yid, he's chayvin some mitzvahs, chayvin mitzvahs ki'isha. All mitzvahs I say that are not zman grama, so maybe he would can serve as a shliach. So the Gemara sounds like he can. But Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, ein ha'eved na'aseh shliach l'kabo get li'isha miyad ba'ila. No, he cannot serve as a shliach. You know why? L'fisha'enu b'tarez gittin v'kiddushin. He doesn't have the ability to affect gittin v'kiddushin for himself. If you can't do it for yourself, you can't be a representative for somebody else. Gemara is going to have that concept of Aleph in the base. We'll see it more comprehensively soon. So can an Eved be a Shliach, Rabbi? In the end of the day, can he be a Shliach? What do you say? Sounds like? No. Even though the Mishnah implied yes, Gemara says, but he's not Betar, he's getting the Kiddushin. However, the Ramban quotes Marie Migash, who distinguishes, no, it's yes and no. Yes and no. When yes, when no. The husband can appoint an Eved to serve as his representative. Even though the Eved can't do it himself, the husband can appoint him to be a shliach, to bring the get, to bring the kiddushin. The wife cannot appoint an Eved to be her representative to accept the get in or kiddushin. That's what the Gemara says. The Mishnah is talking about him. Hakol k'shem l'havi yes haget. Everyone's kosher to bring the get. The Gemara, ain't heaven, not so sure, come get me, I'll buy it, ain't a betrayal, give me conclusion, talking about her. She cannot appoint an Eved, he can. That's the Rimigash. The Ramban quotes from the Rimigash. Why? Look at three lines from the bottom of the Ramban. Ma bein ze lo ze. What's the difference? Va'aru yesho lo hashiv. Shliach halacha, ein al kishliach de alma. That's regular shlichus, power of attorney, transfer of authority. The husband can transfer authority to anybody, as long as he's chayv in some mitzvahs, not a non-Jew, he's chayv in some mitzvahs, so you can appoint him as a shliach. He doesn't have to be in the same parasha himself. Why? Why should he have to be in the same parasha himself? Aval shliach kabbalah, mikavin shegia get liyadah migureshes, that's like an extension of her. V'hu ein lo yad legerushin. He himself, though, can't do this. He can't become an extension of the wife. The Eid of Atar is getting. He cannot become an extension of the wife if he's not Atar is getting the Kiddushin. So again, similar distinction that we saw before between the husband Shlichus and her Shlichus. Husband Shlichus is garden variety Shlichus. I have in control. I can make a Shliach. This is my transaction. I can transfer authority to somebody else. And they don't have to be Atar is getting the Kiddushin. The wife, Shlichus, she's not in control. She gets divorced against her will. That is like an extension of herself, and therefore the Eved is out. He has to be, but Torah is giving Kiddushin. We happen to not accept this, Rimi Gash, but at least it makes the point. Yeah.
But isn't an Eved the same way as a woman?
In mitzvahs ki'isha, yeah, but he doesn't have giving Kiddushin like a woman. He's chayv in the mitzvahs haseh, but he doesn't enjoy the same, all the same benefits. Yeah.
I feel like you would probably assume like the opposite, though, because if like an the shliach's like functionality is like, if it's a function of like how much the shliach himself can actually do, like
yeah,
chances are he and a shliach like an eved could accept a given, though he couldn't give one. So wouldn't you assume that he'd be more likely to go to be an extension of the woman?
He can, he can't give or accept. He can't get married. So there's no kiddushin for an eved, no marriage or divorce.
So then why would the Rimi Gash think that he could represent the man?
Because he's chayvin some mitzvahs, so he's good enough to be a tenth man for the minyan, you know, whatever. He's fine. He's not, doesn't count to minyan. What I mean is, he's Jewish enough to be the shliach. for the wife has nothing to do with Jewishness. It has to do with becoming an extension of her. And since he can't do it himself, he doesn't conduct electricity, so to speak. He can't do this because he can't become an extension of her. The husband is a transfer of authority because the husband's in charge. He has authority to transfer. So he can transfer to whoever he wants as long as they're Jewish somewhat. And he's Jewish enough.
So there's nothing new. To be able to actually do the thing only applies to the woman.
Yes, that's the Rimi Gash. We don't accept that, but that's his argument. And perhaps his argument is making the same point that we've been making. Yeah.
Why does the mission then exclude the other people? If the husband has the right to give over the authority to anyone.
Well, who's Jewish?
We say so, but I don't understand why the
and the Eved is nominally Jewish.
No, but why would he exclude a katan acheresh?
They don't have das because they don't have decision making capability. Separate reason. That's a totally different reason. Yeah.
If an Eved is Chayav Kisha, then shouldn't he be under the extension of her person?
Say someone else is, but he doesn't have Gittin Kedushin. Even though he's Chayav in mitzvahs that I say that are not Zman Groma, he doesn't enjoy all the benefits of fringe benefits of being a Jew. He has some yes, some no. He's not Betar's Gittin Kedushin. One final point, though, is more with regards to the Shliach, Eis Shliach. So the Gemara says a shliach can make a shliach, but there is one limitation to that. Even though the husband and the wife can point to shliach, and that shliach can point to another shliach, the Mishnah says in Gittin, you just have to be familiar with this concept, the Mishnah says that you can only appoint a shliach if you give them something other than you transfer some sort of tangible item to them. The Mishnah says in Masechtas Gittin, even though the husband, let's say, can make a shliach, you can look it up, Samach Vavim Abayis, that even though the husband can make a shliach to give a get, and that shliach can take the get and give it to a second shliach, if the husband tells somebody, write a get for my wife, but he doesn't hand them a get, all he says to him is words, write a get for my wife, which the Gemara calls mili, I said, write a get for my wife, I can do that, he cannot appoint the second shliach. The first shliach cannot appoint the second shliach, mili lo memtsuron l'shliach. You might have heard such a phrase. Mili lo memser on the shliach. That doesn't mean I can't tell somebody to do something that's just words. Of course you can. That's the wife's shlichus. What it means is, for the shliach to make a second shliach, it has to be you gave him a tangible item. So therefore, when the Gemara says over here, shliach, melamish shliach, it's talking about the husband only. But not because of our distinction. It's talking about the husband only because the husband hands over a get to the shliach. So therefore, the shliach can hand over the get to a second shliach. The wife's shliach can never appoint a second shliach. Not because her shlichus is different, like we've been explaining. They are different. But that's not why her shliach cannot appoint the second shliach. Her shliach cannot appoint the second shliach because she didn't hand over an item. All she did was say words, go accept the get. So then the first shliach will have to say to the second shliach, go accept the get. But that's just words. Words transfer from the party themselves to the first representative. You can't transfer words unless there's an item here like a get, a shtar kiddushin. That could be transferred from one shliach to a second shliach. But if it's just words, you can't transfer it from one shliach to a second shliach. So, melamish shliach ois shliach is only the husband, but not because of our distinction. It's because the husband hands over a get, so the get could be handed over to a second party, a third party, you know, a second shliach. The wife can appoint one shliach to accept the get, but that shliach cannot appoint a second shliach. Because all she told him was words, go accept the get, immediately lo memser on the shliach. If the husband also would just tell him, go write a get, but there's no get here, he can't appoint the second shliach to go write the get either. It's only when an item is being transferred. It's important just for learning pshat over here. Okay, so tomorrow...